And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is school days. My first guest is running for the Wainimi School Board, part of our ongoing series of candidates, looking at those candidates for the public office. He was the third of the four candidates that we interviewed. My next guest is going to teach us how to fight obesity by being more active and eating correctly. She uses a technique she calls instant recess, which fits right in with our theme today. If you're a mom or a dad out there, you want to join in the conversation, you can contact us by calling 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Tony Yancey is a medical doctor and a Master's of Public Health, MPH. She's currently a professor in the Department of Health Services at UCLA School of Public Health. She's co-director of UCLA's Kaiser Permanente Center for Health Equity. She spent 5 years in public health practice, first as the director of public health for the city of Richmond, Virginia, and then as director of chronic disease prevention and health promotion for LA County's Department of Health Services. She was recently appointed to the board of directors for the Partnership for a Healthy America. Those of you might know the name, that is the nonprofit foundation supporting First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move initiative. Dr. Yancey completed her undergraduate activities in biochemistry and molecular biology at Northwestern University. She got her medical degree at Duke, woohoo, and her preventive medicine residency and MPH at UCLA. Her latest book is titled Instant Recess, Building a Fit Nation in 10 Minutes at a Time. Welcome to the show, Dr. Yancey. How are you today?
Well, thank you. I'm doing great.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. And your book is a wonderful book, too. I love it. It's a combination of, you've got some comics in there, some great poetry as well. So, great book. But in your book, you equate obesity and physical inactivity to the dangers of smoking and drunk driving, calling them the twin epidemics. That's pretty harsh stuff. Now, we know that smoking leads to lung disease and heart disease. Drunk driving, of course, leads to accidents and deaths. How are obesity and inactivity dangerous to our health?
Well, obesity certainly leads to many of the same problems as smoking. I mean, cardiovascular disease, you know, heart attacks and heart failure, diabetes is very closely linked with obesity. And there are a lot of other outcomes that sometimes we don't think of. So in the interest of your topic of school days, obese children are very much stigmatized and really isolated in a lot of schools. In fact, there was a study a few years ago that showed that an obese child has about the same quality of life as a child with cancer undergoing chemotherapy. So I think that there are a lot of problems with obesity, but with inactivity in particular, we're starting to recognize, first of all, the scope of the problem. I mean, only about 50% of elementary school children even get the 60 minutes a day that we recommend, and less than 5% of adults get 30 minutes a day. So there's a huge problem because there are just so few people that are meeting recommendations. And also, on top of it, so many people spending so long sitting, which, again, it can contribute to diabetes. It can contribute to lower moods and less attention span, more disciplinary problems in school. So it's a long list.
It sounds like a laundry list. Well, now, we all know that being out of shape is not good for us. But, I mean, we know that. We know the health risks. Then why, as a society, are we out of shape? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, actually, if you think about it from an evolutionary standpoint, it makes a lot of sense, because when we were hunter-gatherers and when we were, you know, an agricultural society growing our own foods, we had to be very active. So we burned 5,000 or 6,000 calories a day, probably about 4 or 5 times as many as calories as most of us burn now, and it was necessary to escape predators, you know, to till the soil, you know, to find food and shelter. So we really were programmed, at least in adulthood, to avoid activity. You know, people that were jogging around in their little bit of leisure time probably didn't live to pass on their genes to us. So given that, we really need to somehow integrate physical activity back into how we do things, back into the normal routine of organizations. And, you know, schools and workplaces are prime targets. And schools, in fact, are workplaces. So, you know, I'm advocating that teachers integrate brief bouts of activity into their classroom routines, you know, transitioning kids from one topic to another or from lunchtime back to school. You know, they can do it in the homeroom periods. You know, everybody can gather together at the beginning of the day, including principals and administrators. So there are lots of ways to do it.
All right. Well, we're talking to Tony Yancey, everybody, medical doctor and author of the book Instant Recess. Now, Tony, you mentioned that it needs to be incorporated back into school, but don't schools have recesses, especially the elementary schools?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of schools have had to take the minutes that were allocated for recess and for physical education, you know, as well as art and music and other things, and put them more toward preparing kids for the standardized test and, you know, actually administering these tests. So it really, in some ways, doesn't make sense from a human physiology standpoint because, you know, kids are really not able to concentrate without getting physical activity. But, you know, that's how things have kind of evolved so that a lot of kids are not getting daily or even twice daily recesses. Some of us that are baby boomers or Gen Xers did.
Nah, that's true. Well, let me ask you this, Tony. You know, first of all, it's quite an honor for you to be on the board for Let's Move. It's First Lady Michelle Obama's personal crusade. Childhood obesity is growing, no pun intended there. Why are America's children heavier than ever today?
Well, I think it's really a combination of things. Certainly, it's the food intake. And we know that kids are drinking many more sodas and drinking a lot less milk. We know that there's an awful lot of fast food being consumed and that a lot of the unhealthy foods, namely those that have very low nutrient, are very nutrient poor, that a lot of those kinds of snack foods like chips and cookies and so forth are being sold, you know, in the small stores that kids, you know, pass by when they go home in the evening. They're a part of the regular school. They're sold in schools to try to make up for, you know, the budgetary constraints. So kids, and there's advertising everywhere. So kids are surrounded by ads for these unhealthy foods. That's one side of the equation. The side of the equation that I think gets less attention is the side that kids are more sedentary. Kids are not, you know, again, getting as much recess. They're not getting the physical education in schools. They're playing a lot of video games. So you can drive by a school at recess time and see a lot of kids just standing around, you know, looking at their little screens. And then, you know, we're consuming more television than ever at home. Many kids have televisions and computers in their own rooms. So there are just a ton of opportunities for kids not to move around, and we know that being outdoors is a major correlate of kids getting enough physical activity. So kids not moving around and kids eating a lot of food.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Tony Yancey, everybody, author of the book Instant Recess, also recently appointed to the board of directors for Mrs. Obama's Let's Move initiative. Tell us, what is your involvement with the Let's Move initiative, Tony?
Well, I'm actually, as you said, on the board of directors of the organization, which is a nonpartisan organization that is chaired as honorary chair by Mrs. Obama. But the honorary vice chairs are former Senator, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, and Cory Booker, the mayor of Newark. And the whole point of our organization is to be independent, you know, of all the politics and that sort of thing, because this is an issue that affects everyone. And what we're particularly focused on is engaging the private sector to get commitments of significance that will help to address the problem of childhood obesity. So, for instance, you probably heard of the chef's campaign, you know, chefs going in and assisting the schools in preparing foods that are, you know, more that are healthier but also very tasty to kids. So we were involved in helping to link that with the finances to get the equipment that the schools need to even be able to allow the chefs to help the food services personnel.
Wow. Oh, that is great. We're talking to Dr. Tony Yancey, everybody. And in your book, Instant Recess, I mean, your basic premise is that you need physical activity just 10 minutes at a time. But if you're chronically obese, can 10 minutes really help obesity? And tell us, what is an instant recess break?
Okay. In answer to your first question, if you're severely obese, you're not going to lose weight and become normal weight with just, you know, a 10-minute instant recess break or two a day. And that's not even what it's intended for. Instant recess breaks are brief bouts of physical activity that are really enjoyable, that are fun for people to do. It promotes social interaction and camaraderie. We have created probably about 25 of these now, and they're on CDs and DVDs. And they're either, the movements are either based on sports. So, for instance, we have Dave Winfield with the San Diego Padres and some of the active players involved in the DVD that the Padres play every Sunday home game to get the kids and families, it's their family day, to get them actively engaged.
Wow.
And then on the other side, we have various dance moves from various ethnic groups. So, for instance, we have one on powwow dancing. We have an African dance. We have a kind of a cumbia mariachi one.
I see. So it's combining activity in a way that's fun for the person who's going to be participating in it. What's required to make instant recess breaks a success then?
Well, it really is a top-down and bottom-up sort of thing. So certainly we need decision makers, and that's partly why I wrote the book, is to reach out beyond the health professional audience and talk to corporate leaders, you know, business people, people in faith communities, government leaders, people leaders in education, you know, to say, hey, this strategy can actually help you achieve your organizational mission. So if it's corporations, there's good evidence that brief bouts of activity enhance productivity as well as decrease injury rates and decrease workers' comp costs and those sorts of things. For a school, improve discipline and improve concentration such that the kids that are least on task have been shown to have the most benefit of these brief activity breaks. So the in another study, when teachers participate with the students are even more active, and this spills over outside of the school day to the weekends and to evenings. So I really think that this is something that everybody could do. Much as we want to have soda bans for as a nutrition sort of thing that we can coalesce behind, I really think we could coalesce behind reintroducing activity into everything that we do. Every time we gather together, it will benefit just about every organization.
Well, I think I agree with you on that. We're talking to Dr. Tony Yancey, everybody, author of the book Instant Recess. Now, in the book you write, what's good for the waistline is good for the bottom line. Many of the people listening to the sound of our voice are actually at work, either at their desk or maybe listening over their computer. So tell us, what are some of the impacts on the bottom line for businesses? You mentioned a couple of them before. And then you make the statement that it impacts America's global competitiveness. I want to know how that ties into physical activity as well.
Okay, sure. So let me give you the example of the L.L. Bean plant in Maine, because as best I could tell from all of the interviews that I did with businesses for the book, they've been doing it longest, I mean close to 30 years. And when they started out, they actually stopped the assembly lines three times a day for 5 minutes at a time. So they invested 15 minutes, and in return for that 15 minutes, they got 30 minutes of productivity. So that's 100% return on investment. And that was not a squishy number. I mean, that was actually measured in belts and bags and shoes and whatever L.L. Bean makes. That's one example. I also talked to a company called Replacements Limited, which is basically a China manufacturing and distribution company in North Carolina. And they implemented these brief bouts of activity into their the whole workforce, people that worked in offices and particularly folks on the assembly lines, and they were actually able to cut their workers' comp costs. So in our research, we've been able to demonstrate that we can actually arrest the growth of obesity. In other words, the regular trend is for people to pick up a pound or two a year and a half an inch on their waist. What we were able to show is that we can actually reverse that and have people lose a pound or two, or at least not gain any weight over the course of a year, and actually have a mild improvement in their blood pressure. And, you know, there have been a number of studies other than ours that have demonstrated similar kinds of findings.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, how does that impact us on a world competitive scale?
Well, I really think that when you have a more productive workforce, then you have a workforce that is generating more goods for the costs invested. And, you know, if in the U.S. we have a relatively sedentary workforce that is producing less, then we're not going to compete as well with other places in the world where the workforce is not as sedentary. I mean, there was just an article out about Europe versus America, and they take somewhere around 3,000 more steps a day, you know, as measured on pedometers, these little step counters, than we do. I mean, that's bound to lead to people that are doing a better job during the workday, less of what we call presenteeism, where people are there, they're occupying a chair, but, you know, they've kind of phased out on actually doing any work.
Presenteeism. I'm writing that down. I love it. That's a great new word. And yes, that's true. They take more steps in Europe, but right now they're also rioting in France because they want to extend the work age to 62 years before you can actually retire. Another comment on that, just before we let that idea go, in Japan and in Korea, don't the workers in unison work out in the morning before they start work as part of their regimen as well?
Yeah. I've actually read that about Japanese companies, that quite a few of them do this. And I also read something recently about China, that one of the cities decided to mandate that this happen. Now, I'm not really in favor of the mandate because it kind of flies in the face of our, you know, rugged individualist tradition here in America. But what I do think is that you can frame getting brief bouts of activity during the workday as an entitlement, because in fact, if a worker has to, you know, sort of get permission just to go to the bathroom, then you're talking about people where, you know, as say a radio personality or as a professor at UCLA, I can get up and go, I can, you know, kind of set my hours. Other people can't. So if we're chaining them to their desk, then we're actually contributing to their ill health, and that's not fair.
No, it's not. We're talking to Dr. Toni Yancey, everybody. Her book is Instant Recess, Building a Fit Nation, 10 Minutes at a Time. I love it. 10 minutes is an interval that I can deal with. Dr. Yancey, if somebody wants to learn more about this or find out more about your teachings, where would you direct them to go?
They can go to my website, which is www.toniyancey.com, TONIYANCEY.com. Also, the book is available on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, as well as in a number of Barnes & Noble stores and university bookstores.
As well as Bank of Books right here in Ventura. I had to put in a plug for them too, Dr. Yancey. Thank you so much for being our guest today and stopping by and talking on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.